Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right, ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper? A woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver. I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, I'm Bonnie Burkert, and this is Truth Be Told, Transformation. Sharing tools for transformation to live your highest truth. So what is that, your highest truth? I ask that question every week. In this instance, this week, we're going to talk about our intuition and how it's a superpower. I think it's a great thing to reflect on, and we've got Angela Wicks to talk to us a little bit more about that. Welcome, Angela.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So when did you first tap into intuition?
You know, I came to things with an interest in angels, really. I've had a really spiritual, inquisitive, curious nature since I was a kid. And I wanted to connect with these spiritual beings. And so, you know, I grew up in a religious practice, and so prayer was a part of it. And naturally, part of prayer is then listening back to the messages that you're receiving from the things that you're inquiring about. And so intuition for me came a lot through that communication with spirit. And from there, you know, it's almost like the older I got, the more sensitive I became. And this has been true of intuition, of my spiritual practice, of my body, food sensitivities, sound sensitivities. Just I've become sensitive in all of these different ways, in ways that have somewhat cursed me and also ways that have absolutely blessed me. So intuition, that's how it started for me, was with that interest in connecting with spirit. And
yeah, that's
I
wonderful.
Think it progressed from there as almost kind of like survival mode, because I've always been super shy and assessing my environments intuitively. So using that empathic ability to kind of gauge where things are at when I'm in new environments.
Wow. Okay. That's wonderful. So I do want to introduce that you've written a book called The Secret Secret Psychic. So was that an experience for you? Did you feel that you had to keep this awareness? And I'm not even going to say skill yet. I'm not going to go there. But just that initial awareness when you were younger. And I'm assuming that you were perhaps younger, as you were already sort of starting to explore more the spiritual side of, and listening to the spiritual side of life. So did
yes.
you have to keep that secret, Angela?
Definitely. I, you know, there's cues from society, from the people that you're surrounded by, that unless you're immersed, I feel like, in people who are interested in this topic, there's cues from TV, from society, from family, from friends that, this isn't completely understood. It's kind of weird. It can be scary for people if they don't understand, like if you know things that they haven't told you, that can be kind of scary for people sometimes, and they might not understand where you're coming from, how you have these insights. And so, yeah, I felt like I did need to keep this side of myself secret. And I explored a lot just in my bedroom reading books. That was my starting point of just, you know, quiet space and exploring on my own.
I love that you were able to find books. I mean, nowadays, and I know that you work with Llewellyn, so you're published through Llewellyn, yeah. And you work with them as well, correct? So, I mean, what a blessing to have books. And I think about it now. There's so much information out there on all kinds of spiritual, including a podcast like this, a show like this, that is sharing this information far and wide globally. So how did you find books? Was it something in the library? I mean, was there an Amazon you could order from back then? I don't think so.
No.
You look young, but...
I remember going to my local... We had a strip mall. And I would ride my bike there. And there was this one bookstore there. And they, like I said, my beginning interest was in angels. And they would have books on angels there. And I remember that was kind of how I started out, was finding books in this one bookstore that was within distance of my home.
Where were you?
Where was I located?
Yeah. Where were you living at that time?
In Wisconsin, in central Wisconsin.
Yeah, yeah. No, just saying, I mean, perhaps different parts, because I grew up in the Midwest as well. And so different parts. I was in Europe at one time, but I don't know. I mean, I can definitely think about times when I was little, those imaginary friends that I had. I'm like, who was that? You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I really do wonder that sometimes.
Yeah, but there's interesting things that we don't understand.
Right.
Things that we don't understand why they were the way they were, that we can get this new perspective on when we're older. It's really interesting. I tell a story in the book where there was one instance where I was playing with this toy and it had a little bee on it and it was magnetized. So it was in this bottle and I would kind of move the bottle around and it would look like the bee was flying around. And I was so focused on this toy and just intrigued. I thought it was just really amazing. And I heard bzzz right in my ear. And it was like that, like someone, like a human being making that noise, like right in my ear. And I was just like, oh my gosh. I didn't understand that in the moment. You know, I was probably like 7 or 8 years old. But in hindsight, now when I'm looking back and I tune into like, okay, what was that experience? I can recognize that, oh, this was a spirit. I feel like it's someone that I'm connected to. And they were just messing with me.
Could be.
Were just like having some fun.
Right. It was a way to get your attention or something like that. Right.
Yeah. Now, and I feel like there've been those moments where those I'm connected to in spirit have kind of left breadcrumb trails, so that once I was older and I could look back, once I had more perspective and insight and understanding of these abilities, that it was like, oh, it has existed since I was a kid. And I can remember those select stories.
Yeah. Okay. No, it's interesting. And I'm kind of brainstorming right now. I'm going off in my own, like trying to remember some of my earlier, what might have been. I mean, I think there were some angels watching over me in some of my crazy teenage years. That's for sure. Thank you, guardian angels. No question about that. But when I started to actually string it all together, and I will say for me, it probably wasn't until college that I started to have more of an awareness. And I mean, again, I wasn't privy to as much information as exists out there now. I mean, now there's TV shows about, you know, what, I mean, it could be Sabrina the Teenage Witch or something like that. I mean, but they have so many shows. And I think that probably mysticism for me came through music, because if you listen to certain, through the years, I don't want to say like, you know, the classic rock records, you could definitely, those songwriters definitely were giving us some kind of esoteric things to think about. Mm-hmm. But it was very psychedelic oriented. It was, you know, it was from a drug culture, I think. a lot of it. But hey, that's a gateway of opening, perhaps, in some, in some ways. I would say for me, I did some reading on Carlos, from Carlos Castaneda. Do you know him?
No, I don't.
He's from, he was an author with a lot of books that were popular in the 70s, and it was a little bit more from shamanic teachings. But the point, that doesn't really matter specific. It was more just generally listening to cues from the environment. And that was a big awakening for me. Mm-hmm. So I think that just, you know, again, like if a bird flies near, there could be a message. There's energy. It's an energy exchange with all of those things. And I think that's when I started to really have some connections with what was happening and listening more carefully, right? Mm-hmm. And I would think I was taking outer cues, but I feel like what you, and then we learn the inner, more about the inner cues. And would you say that your book helps guide that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tell us a little more about what all is in there.
So in the book, I talk about, one, what it means to be a secret psychic to begin with. Like if you might have these abilities, why you might feel like you might need to be keeping it secret for yourself. And then I delve into guidance about your subtle intuition, what those abilities might look like, how they might be manifesting for you personally, because it's really different for each person. Like for you, like you're saying, it started out with music. For me, it was through reading stories, fiction books too.
Any examples? Like just out of curiosity?
You know, when I was like 10, 11, 12, I was reading, I can't even remember the author, but she had a lot of books about, like kids with cancer or like kind of sad stories, mm-hmm. but then there would be like angels or some kind of spiritual experience. So that was kind of my entry into this sense of spirituality and connection with spirit.
Okay. Healing.
And it just evolved from there.
Right.
So I get into like what these abilities might look like for you and how you can work with them independently, because when you're feeling like you have to be secret, a lot of the resources that I can remember that I was finding early on, they would talk about doing these exercises with a partner. And it was always just like, I don't have a partner. I'm alone.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I made sure to make it independent practice that you can be developing. And then a step beyond just your own personal intuition and tuning into your own energy, I go into tuning into the natural occurrence of spirit communication and tuning into the messages, like you're saying, that you might be getting from your environment, from animals, you know, from a billboard that you've passed a million times, but all of a sudden it seems like the message is screaming at you, these certain words.
Yeah.
So I get into a lot of those different types of communications that might be coming to you.
Numbers would be another thing.
Yeah.
So, no, it's great. So what would you say about, okay, so that you, those are examples of what you would refer to as spirit communication?
Yes.
Okay.
Spirit communication, it might be coming through animals, through external signs.
And
the
music, right? I mean, it goes back to music. It's so funny. Yes. Have you ever heard the term people were using back in the iPod days? They would call it iGod. They would go and shuffle, and then there would be this song that would be so relevant. And
divination through iPod.
So I guess
I love that.
We can do that maybe with Spotify playlist now or something like that. But that's, you know, that's really interesting, Angela. I'm having this kind of, you know, aha moment right now about how it comes in different ways. So, right, that we all find those little hits, and we perhaps have our area of specialization. And you know, I've worked around music for a lot of my life, as you know, in marketing and things like that. And I don't play any music, but I always have some music playing. And so, interesting, right? Like it's almost like it's a delivery mechanism for us.
Definitely, yes.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And maybe everybody has it in different ways.
Yep. And for me, a lot of it comes through, like I'm talking about how I heard that buzzing in my ear. I get a lot of direct spirit communication. Okay. So like, for example, there was one time when I was just landscaping out in my yard, and all of a sudden I heard my sister in spirit, and she was talking with a grandparent who had just passed away that week. And it was like she was giving him a tour of the space. And she was like, oh, and sometimes she can hear me. So she was like talking about me to him, of just like, oh, and sometimes she can hear me. And then she went on with her tour to him. So it was like, I get these random messages. Wow. Or I'll like overhear things from spirit. And it's just super interesting sometimes where it's just, okay, not trying, it just happens.
Yeah. Okay. Now, at what point in your life did that happen? I mean, were you still, you know, you mentioned being in your sort of tween ages when you were really starting to put, you know, sort of transcend the stories you were talking about, the healing journeys that you would read about as a young person, but you derived the mystical spiritual meaning out of it with mm-hmm. there were some angels involved and that it was so at what point did you start to, I guess, get your confidence that this wasn't just something in the storybook, that this is something that was actually happening to you?
When I was in my teens, my early teens, I was just reading so much, and I started practicing automatic writing.
Oh, okay.
And I think that's really when it was kind of like, okay, I can feel this energy. Like I can Wow. feel this, something is moving my arm right now, and I'm getting this message, and it kind of, you know, it pans out. It makes sense. And I know this isn't coming from my brain right now. So Wow. that was kind of when I started feeling like there was real confirmation behind
it. Now, had you read something about automatic writing and you said, I'm going to try this? Or were you journaling anyway? And
no, I was reading a book by James Van Praagh. Mm-hmm. It's got a blue cover. It has heaven in the title. I can't think
we'll
of it.
We'll put it
right
in
now,
the comments on YouTube if you want to check it.
Yeah, that was one of the first books that I can remember. It had really good practices in it, and automatic writing was one of the practices.
Okay, so that was that a book on developing your psychic abilities?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
So there's a tool. Again, you know, we like to share tools here, so that might be an example. Of a tool that one could use. Okay. So, and I'm sure that you explain a few more things in the book, but I wanted to ask you, is the book informational in terms of tools like that? Or would you say the book is more to develop one's confidence to that this is real and that it's okay?
It's both.
Okay.
So I have a lot of explanation, and breaking things down so that you can understand common hurdles that you might come across. There's a lot of troubleshooting. It lays a clear foundation for what these abilities are all about. And I have over 20 practices in there that I've broken down to take you step by step through your own development. And then at the end of the book, there's an index or an appendix with common symbols that you might come across in your practice. So it can kind of walk you through helping to understand all of that. But then there's a recommended resources section that has a lot of really, really good resources that you can expand on. Even if you read this book, you can move past it to explore even more resources. So there's a ton of really good information.
No,
for your
that's
practice.
Really cool. I look forward to checking it out myself. So, going back to, again, your younger years, did you find this in some way in conflict with your religious upbringing? I mean, I'm assuming you're still at home going to church with your family.
Mm-hmm.
Was it like that? That's what it was for me.
Yeah, I did.
So
I kept testing the waters. I would ask questions of, you know, my CCD instructors or the priest at my church, and just kind of feel things out of like, okay, would they be accepting if they knew that this is who I was?
Okay.
And I just was always left unsure. And so I continued to be secretive about everything. And I really didn't start sharing with people until I was in college.
Mm-hmm.
My husband didn't even really know.
Yeah.
You know, I got married when I was 19, and this was just a side of myself that was just for me until I talk about in the book, there was this one experience where I clearly gave information from someone who had passed away. And it was so shocking to me and to the other people that I shared it with, that it was just something that I had to tell my husband about. And that kind of opened the door to the progression of me taking more classes and letting myself really delve into this world.
Amazing, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Does it come through dreams for you? Or is it more, does it
yeah,
come through dreams for you?
If it comes through dreams, usually it is a visitation. So I don't get, like, some people get premonition dreams where they'll get psychic information and then it ends up occurring in real life.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's more I'm getting messages from those who I've known in life who have passed away.
I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had two huge premonition dreams in my life. Like, they were, yeah, it was crazy. It really happened. And one, yeah.
I think it's amazing to me that
I'm not going to
get
that
happens
story
for
path.
People.
I'm like, it was too much. It was crazy. I will tell you, I'll tell you one of the two. One was, I didn't realize that I had dreamed it until a couple days later, and I wrote it down in my journal. And I would like to share the practice of writing down one's dreams as a source of revelation, because if you look back, like, I used to write, I used to journal but never read it, and then I'd go back.
Yeah.
I finally decided to go back, and it was crazy. It was so helpful. So in this mm-hmm. instance, I had gotten laid off from a job in a real shocking way, and 3 days later I went back and looked in my journal, and I had written that night, the morning before going into work, the day I got laid off, I had written about, it was me and the record label, and I was in a record store, and then cut to, I was impaled, like, you know, like Vlad the Impaler.
Oh my God.
And that's what I had written down in my journal. And then a few days later, I realized, wow, that was foreshadowing my day. Isn't
Yo.
That crazy?
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, it's funny. I love this world. I spend, we talked before we got online here that, you know, about a yoga practice, which I think through the breath work and the calming and finding meditation, I think that definitely opens us up to intuition, to our intuition, right? We're training ourselves. So I've never really used the term psychic for myself. And yet, I guess I'm giving you a few examples where, in fact, something happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when it comes down to it, we are all definitely psychic.
Yes. Yes. I think that's great.
It's built in. It's part of who we are and what we are.
And I want to convey that, because I feel the listeners of this show fully understand that. So that's where you and I can talk more openly about, I mean, we don't have to. I feel our listeners aren't necessarily keeping it secret, mm-hmm. but they may want some of these tips and tools. And I want to ask you about your other book, and let's see if I've got the title. It's The Little Book of Unicorns. Yes.
Yep.
All right. So I want to sidebar into unicorns a little bit, and tell me how this all ties in for you. So, fascinating subject. One that I don't know that much about. So what would you like to share with me about that book?
My favorite thing about it is that I delve into the topic on different levels. So I explore the history of unicorns, so the folklore and how they've manifested throughout history, throughout different cultures around the world.
Wow.
So real world stories about the unicorn. But then from there, I'm getting into how unicorns have become this amazing archetype and how they've just exploded in modern culture. I mean, they're everywhere. If you go into a store, you're going to see a unicorn somewhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's
right
so
now.
True.
Yeah. So a lot of the book is using that archetype of unicorns as a metaphor for how we can embrace our own inner magic and find this authentic joy within ourselves, even through dark times. And when I was writing this book, I had just gone through some of the hardest years of my life. And this related to chronic illness, illness that I've had since I was, you know, a preteen and had just progressed through my life. So I had been in a really, really dark phase of my life. And I feel like I came back alive when I was writing this book, and it saved a part of me. It brought a piece of me back to myself. And is just about reconnecting with that magic part of yourself that you've lost. And that's what it gave me. And I'm hoping that that's what it will give other people as well.
That's amazing. How much did you know about and relate to unicorns when you decided that you wanted to kind of compile all this information for us?
This was another another secret side of myself. I'm getting a theme here, but I've really loved unicorns since I was a kid. And, you know, at some point when I got to a certain age, it was kind of like, oh, people are going to think I'm silly or I'm being just a little kid when I need to start growing up now. And so I kept it secret. I even forgot about it myself, that this was something that I loved so much, until it started manifesting in the world again, where it just appears everywhere. And
yeah.
I started remembering, like, oh my gosh, I used to really love unicorns. Why did I let that go? So it really gave me permission to look at that side of myself again and explore why I even liked them to begin with.
Amazing. No, I love that. And it makes, I'm going to explore that too. But it is so fun. I love that unicorns are everywhere again.
Yeah.
But you're right. It wasn't always the case. So
no, it wasn't.
Right. That's what's so really interesting. Well, I'm sorry to hear that you had a shadowy time. I think we all do. And, you know, it's very interesting. And I love that you're basically inviting us to explore something playful, to find some magic. And that could show up in a lot of different ways. Maybe it's a crystal. I mean, I used to think about how I love crystals. I'm always collecting crystals. But do you remember once upon a time that people had pet rocks? It was just a joke.
Yeah.
It was a joke. And they were selling rocks. I don't know. Maybe they had little eyes on them or something like that.
Yeah.
But how nice it was to have, right? And now we've kind of, you know, sort of upgraded that experience with something that really is a semi-precious stone that was forged in the earth, and why not? How could it not have energy? I mean, it was gravity that created it, and with huge pressure, and I don't know, maybe that helps us find some magic that way, right? So I think, again, a tool. So I'd like to bring it back around to the development of your psychic awareness and feeling more comfortable and going through it. So the unicorn, your book about unicorns was written first, right? Because the Secret Psychic book is more recent. It's a more recent release. Do you feel that this was a quickening of your development in terms of when you went during the writing process, and when you said this was a reaction to sort of having to work through a darker time in your life? Do you think that it opened up the realms that much broader for you, working on unicorns, and then perhaps?
I think it gave me permission. It allowed me to give myself permission to open the doors wide on everything. Like I said, with writing unicorns, I felt like I was coming back to myself, or a piece of myself I had rediscovered. It really was these parts of myself that I didn't talk about, that I even hid for myself, that I couldn't find on my own. But in writing these books and trying to process and put things in order, remembering forgotten things, it just, it brought it all full circle. And with the unicorn book, I felt so much joy after I completed that book. I was just so happy. And when I finished the Secret Psychic book, I felt this sense of completion. in that I had closure with so many things that just it's this permission of allowing yourself to be who you are. And that's what these books definitely brought me.
Wow, the truth of who you are. Amazing. Now, you also are an artist, right? So
yes.
you designed the cover of The Secret Psychic?
I didn't design it, but one of my paintings was used in the cover. So the artwork that you see in the background on the cover, that is a portion of a painting that I did. And I talk about that in the book as well.
Beautiful. So how, okay, so here's another tool, art, right? So you've talked about writing.
Yeah.
Right? I've talked about things like crystals and looking at birds. So tell me about art for you, painting.
So the art that appears on this cover, it actually came about a couple of years after my sister died. My sister, Amanda, she's someone who comes up in the book quite a bit.
Oh, that's tough. I'm sorry to hear that.
Thank you. She's someone who we really connected on these topics. We were both secret psychics growing up. We didn't even talk about it really to each other because we didn't know that we were safe people to talk about with on this topic. It wasn't until we were in college and I started taking classes and she realized that we really opened up to each other about it all. So after she passed away, she instantly became this very strong connection for me in spirit. And right after I found out that she had died, I had this vision of her. And that's what this painting was about. It was a reflection of that vision that I had. And I've done other paintings as well, just processing my loss of her, but also my continued relationship with her as I'm in this world and she's in the other world. So artwork has been huge for me. Art therapy is such an important tool.
Hi there. Are you still with us, Angela? I just see a little break. Sorry, there was just a little glitch.
Okay.
Mercury's in retrograde. That's wonderful. And I feel I've been feeling really drawn to art. Like I'm super into color, and I do a lot of graphic design work, and it's just, I don't know, day of the week, what color is associated with a certain day of the week, and you know, and all kinds of things like that. So yes, I understand that, and I love hearing that, these different tools. Now, you are also a Reiki master, is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay, yep. So tell us how that all weaves in for you, the energy work of Reiki.
I started looking into energy work again, when I was in college, and this was before it was really big, before it was really known widely, but I found someone near my college who attuned me to it, and it was this really interesting experience where, you know, a big part of me was like, oh my gosh, I believe in this, I feel it, I want to learn more, but is this real?
Yeah.
And when I went to her for this attunement, she was telling me about it. She was kind of moving her hands around and just explaining things. And she stopped midway and she was like, is there something with your heart? Like, do you have something in your heart? And I was just like, yeah. Because I actually have this, it's like a little metal device that was inserted into my heart when I was around 19.
Oh, wow.
And I'd never, you know, I didn't blog, I didn't write at that time. There was no information about this out there anywhere. And it was just like, oh my gosh, okay, this lady's real.
Okay, wow.
And my experience with that attunement was just amazing on a lot of levels. And it just started me on my journey. I got attuned to different levels and I started practicing with it a lot when I did massage.
Oh, great. So you do massage work as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So how are you working with people at this point? I mean, obviously, we're still remote in a lot of the work that and offerings that exist out there. So tell us a little bit about that and what it's like working with people. Is it mostly locally or can people find you from anywhere?
I do some distance energy work right now. So that information is all on my website. And I also am connected with Echo Bodin, who is also an author. She was one of my instructors in psychic development and energy work. And she has a program. It's called the Healing Pen Pal Program. And if you go to Echo Bodin's website, that program is all shared on there. And anyone can submit for free energy healing from distance for all of the energy workers who are connected to that.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful to be a part of something like that.
Yeah, and it is convenient in today's world.
Yeah, indeed. So I would love to ask your opinion. We've talked a little bit about what it was like being younger and maybe not having as many resources as exist right now. What do you think it means? The fact that there's an acceleration of so much interest in this. I mean, I remember going into an Urban Outfitters. This was already several years ago. And there were an incredible amount of books on witchcraft. And I mean, maybe it's the Harry Potter that sparked a lot of this. I mean, it's always been there, but it's fascinating. And you go on Instagram, I spend, you know, plenty of time on there. And I just see so many people that are just putting out just such positive message and really illuminated. And so I'd love to hear your take on where we're at, where, you know, in 2022 and sort of the certain amount of momentum that perhaps is even quickened over since the lockdown in 2020. So please tell me your thoughts on that.
I see it as a snowball. You know, it's like once there have been these people that have been working at these things like witchcraft, paganism, this psychic ability, energy work. They've been there and they've been kind of behind the scenes. But now as more information is becoming available, as the internet came out and people could connect from a distance and gather information more easily and connect with one another, I just think that that has sped up the progression and it's become this kind of exponential growth and development. And I think the more that people see others allowing themselves to open up and practice these types of things, the more they think, oh, well, maybe then it's okay for me to do this too. And it just keeps ticking along more and more and more. People allowing themselves to be who they are and be drawn and connect with the practices that feel authentic to them.
Right.
Which is fantastic.
Yeah. Listening and that instinct, that intuitive voice, to trust it.
Right. Yep.
To pay closer attention to it.
Yep. And also to learn how to even recognize it, because we're all using these abilities. It's just we aren't always recognizing them. Even one of the last stories that I wrote about in the book, this message came through and it was on the hour for like 5 hours. And it wasn't until I sat down and journaled, like, okay, what's everything that happened today? Because it feels significant. It wasn't until I looked at that journal entry then after I wrote it all down that it was like, oh my gosh, this was a spirit coming through who was trying to get this message through. And I never would have gotten it if I hadn't sat down and wrote it all out. So we're always getting these intuitive hits and these messages and connections, but it takes this sense of awareness of sitting down and paying attention to really start to work with it as a practice.
A practice. I thank you for that. Was a word I was looking for, and I encourage everybody. I mean, I think the importance of a daily practice and can really help get into a rhythm and open oneself up to this. And you know, this I called this show of, you know, intuition being a superpower, and let's both just reinforce it's really something that we all have, and I feel that the daily practice provides an anchor and a discipline to a certain extent, and I really want to just say the daily practice could be simple. It really could be a 3-minute meditation. But do it daily. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know we want to do it longer, and I did want to ask you where meditation fits into your practice. I mean, do you have recommendations around that as far as how one meditates.
I do. I have some meditations in the book.
Okay.
One of what I feel is the most important meditations is learning how to tune into your own energy and listen to, one, to begin to recognize the feel and the tone of your own energy versus other energy that might be coming at you externally. But then also learning to tune in so that you can understand the messages that are coming to you. So that is a definite foundational meditation. For me, I really love guided meditations. So whether it's like the meditations that I include in the book, where you're kind of reading along and doing the meditation in your head at the same time, or you can pre-record it and listen back to it. Or there's just so many available on YouTube or just online resources where you can type in whatever type of meditation you want, whether it's for relaxing or tuning into spirit types of things. Lots of resources are available.
Beautiful. Thank you. Well, there has been so much to think about and to feel, right? Because that's kind of what we're talking about here.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I really encourage everybody to go deep. And I feel that your book, The Secret Psychic, really can offer lots of ways to explore this. So thank you for joining us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me again.
Yeah, it's really been great, Angela. I look forward to reading the book and hearing more and dying of curiosity to see what you'll share with us next. So, you know, until then, please, everybody, find Angela on her website. And thanks for finding us at Truth Be Told Paranormal on Instagram. And you can see Tony Sweet's weekly show on Fridays at 3 p.m. Pacific. That would be live. And Robert Hensley is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays as well. This is Truth Be Told, Truth Be Told Transformation. I'm Bonnie Burkert, and we're very happy that...
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You're listening with us today. Until the next time, namaste.